Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. So many of you might have thought that that's where we would be going today. And you were right if you thought that. Good job. We will reference back to this passage, I'm sure, no doubt, Lord willing, several times throughout the coming weeks. But there are so many different places that we can go that have this, really almost these exact words. Acceptable unto God, or acceptable in His sight. And so, looking forward to that. But Romans chapter 12, if you found it, we're going to read two verses, if you'll stand with me in honor of God's Word, if you're willing and able to. How about this? I'll read verse 1, and you read verse 2 out loud with me. All right, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm already crying. All right. That's the title of the message this morning, Acceptable unto God. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we need you, and I pray, God, you'd help us to hear from you this morning, not from me. I don't want to be in any part of this except to just to be a tool in your hands to bring forth your word. So allow the Holy Spirit to work on our hearts and work on my heart and on our lives. Lord, I pray that this would have an impact on us, that your word is promised it won't return void. And so, Lord, whatever the needs are here this morning, I pray that only you can meet them. And I can try to meet them. I can do my part, do my best, but there's nothing I can do, really. So, Lord, we need you to work and speak. So do so, and may we listen with open hearts and open ears and be attentive to what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for your seat. I've already heard comments this year. Well, at the end of last year, I'm from different people. One was, I'm looking forward to putting 2025 behind me. And then on the flip side of the coin, somebody else said, I'm scared about what 2026 holds. And we can be one or both in the same week of those. And truth is, 2026 holds a lot of things in store. For you, there might be a lot of desires that you have. Maybe you want to be financially stable. Maybe there are things to pay for, bills, vacations, college, weddings, car repairs or replacements. I'm not pointing fingers. Yes, I am. Not mentioning your names, I'm pointing fingers. These are my family, by the way, so if you don't know, then that's who I'm pointing at. Your husband's spending endeavors. It's usually the wife, but in our family, it's me. All right. She's the money saver. I'm the money spender. I'm glad she saves it so I can spend it. That's nice of her. Maybe you have house repairs. If you're a Christian who loves the Lord, you have a desire to be a blessing to others. You do. You'd like for God to bless you so you can be a blessing to others. There are other things that you desire. Your health is a concern to you. You don't want to deal with cancer or heart issues or diabetes anymore. You have other burdens health-wise. Even weight gain can be a burden to you. Maybe there's an underlying issue behind some of those things and you can't put your finger on it, and that's a burden to you. Maybe you're constantly dealing with headaches. Maybe you're constantly dealing with fatigue. You're just tired. There's other things you're going through that nobody else knows about. Then there's relational issues. You're not as close to your spouse as you once were. You don't sense the comfort and the joy and the sweetness in that relationship. Maybe you're growing farther from your teenager or your adult children, and you long to have that relationship back. You feel guilty because your little ones seem to be, you love them. You love them greatly. They're a joy. They're cute. But your little ones seem to be more of a burden than a joy right now because of everything else that's hectic going on in your life. And you feel guilty because you're so busy that you can't seem to enjoy them, which then leads to the busyness in your life. The busyness issues. You can't seem to fit it all in. There's always the next thing, the next project, the next meal, the next task. And you stop and think, when was the last time you spent real time with your husband or your wife, or you played with your kids, or you enjoyed a cozy evening or a meaningful conversation with your older kids or adult children, and or with your husband or with your wife, and you're too busy to even think. So even church ministry is a burden rather than a blessing, because it's something that you're at the point where you have to do because nobody else is doing it, or you have to do because you committed to it. And it is something you want to enjoy, not just something that you just want to do. So your week or your day consists of trying to please your husband or your wife or your parents or your kids or your teachers or your coaches or your teammates or your classmates or your friends or your boss or your doctor or even yourself. Even the pets tell you what to do. And you just can't fit it all in. The things you think you should be able to control, you aren't controlling. And the things that you can't control on a good day, you're trying to control. And it's utter chaos. Sometimes you just curl up in your bed, or you go to your hobby to escape, and you try it again later. I want to give some things this morning that will help. Some things that I believe most, if not all of you, yes, you already know. But if you're like me, you have a hard time putting into practice these things that you know. Maybe you don't know these things, and this will be a help to you. It begins with a mindset, and then it leads to action. A proper mindset that impacts all of these areas. And I think if we'll implement Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 as a daily habit, I said a daily habit, a daily routine, it's not a one and done deal. But you wake up every morning and you just got to start over. It's going to have an impact on the things that you can't control. It will give you patience with the things you can't control, and it will give you wisdom with the things that you can control, and patience and trust while these things are happening. So I want you to look at Romans 12, 1, where it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. I want to talk first of all about the mindset of a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Being a living sacrifice, what does he mean there? A sacrifice is something that has been dead or killed, but he's asking you to be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is this, being completely yielded to God. Our theme is acceptable unto God. And Paul here is charging Christians to be completely yielded to God. If you want to underline that or circle it, draw an arrow, and write down, this means being completely yielded to God. It means He comes before all the others you're trying to please and all the other things you're trying to do. In fact, if you focus this, if you focus on being acceptable unto God, most, if not all of those other people, yes, even the pets are going to be satisfied. Acceptable to God is your goal. Because we're worried about being acceptable to husband or wife or children or parents or coaches or teammates or church members or our pets or whatever else is going on. We worry about being acceptable in all of these other people's lives. But if you focus simply on this, just set all that aside and just say, there's one I'm trying to be acceptable unto, and that's God. I'll never forget Brother Wayne Hardy preaching a seminar back when I was Bible college. He was preaching on music, actually. He was talking about music that's acceptable to God. And he used the passage in Scripture where Paul said, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. In other words, I can do this and this and this, but is it really to my benefit, to the benefit of others, to the benefit of everyone as a whole if I do? I'm allowed to, but should I just claim my rights and do it? Or should I think about what's best for everybody? And then when he was talking about music, he just talked about before you study what kind of music is pleasing to God, study holiness. And when you study holiness or what's holy to God or what's acceptable to God, apply that to music. And we could put that in any area of life. You could apply that to dress. You could apply that to conversation. You could apply that to places you work. You could apply that to all sorts of different things in life. Before you try to study the Bible, what does it say about these specific topics? Just study what's holy to God. What's pleasing to God? Study what the Bible says about holiness and apply what we learn about holiness to these things. And I say that because our goal, our desire, we've got to take everything that I went through in this introduction and set it aside and say, okay, yes, those things matter. It's not that they don't matter, but what matters most is what's acceptable to God. I need to worry about pleasing Him first and foremost. God, does this please you? And I'm not going to ask her to come up here, but I bet my wife could go on a rant or have a good conversation about if my husband would just simply do what pleases God, then I'm happy. Am I right? It's true. You'll find that the things you must fit into your life are things that God directs you to. You'll stop trying to squeeze in the things that you don't need. Can I ask a question? Could it be that your life feels so busy right now because God never desired for you to add to your plate things that He didn't add to your plate? Oh, there are some things that God wants to add to your plate. But what happens is you start cramming in things onto your plate God never desired for you to have. They may not be sin in and of themselves. Well, certainly there's some that might be, but they may not be sin in and of themselves, but we keep adding onto our plate things that starts crowding out what God has intended to be on our plate and pretty soon shoves it off the plate altogether. What things are you involved in that God never said, I want you to add this? What things are you involved in that God never said, I want you to add this or that to your life? If I'm so busy in life that I don't have time to accomplish the basic things that God and His Word direct me to, then I must be too busy. Thank you for adding to your plate this week, the first Sunday of the year, something that God has definitely said, I want to be on your plate, and that's faithfulness to His house. Thank you for doing that this morning. You've agreed with God that this is something that you need. Too often, when we are busy, we remove the things God wants so we can have the things that we want. We'll be talking about some of those things in the weeks to come, but here's the heart of it. God says in verse 2, that ye may prove, look at the end of it, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove it, God says. Prove it by presenting, how? By presenting your life to God. That's the answer in verse 1. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. In verse 2, God says, prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You might ask, well, how do I prove What is good and acceptable and perfect will of God? He gives us the answer in verse 1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, wholly acceptable unto him, which is a reasonable service. I prove it by presenting myself to him. I'm saying, God, I do not have the ability in and of myself to do this. And so I'm gonna be a living sacrifice. I'm gonna be dead to myself, dead to the flesh. I'm gonna let you take control. A tool is no good if it's not being used. A screwdriver does nothing unless it's in the craftsman's hands. A socket wrench does nothing unless it's in the mechanic's hands. A hammer does nothing unless it's in the master builder's hands. We are just to simply be tools for the master's use and not try to do things on our own, but just allow God to use us. So I prove it by giving my life to God and I say, okay, God, this is your life. God, I want to be acceptable in your eyes only. And in order to do that, I have to admit that I can't do it on my own. God, you can do more with me than I can. The only way I'll ever be acceptable to you is if I simply lay my life down. You pick me up and you use me. That's why the mindset, the renewing of your mind must be this. When we say renewing of your mind, you renew your mindset. God, I'm letting go and I'm letting you. What is it you want, God? God, dictate my life. God, allow your word to dictate my life. I'm going to allow your word to dictate my life. I'm going to live my life according to the word of God. Yes, the list of God's commands can get hard. Go to church, be a witness, read his word, pray, control your tongue, praise his name, dress modestly, help others, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. But we can go on and on and on and on and on. That's why you've got to admit you can't do those things on your own. But what you can do is you can take the decision-making out of it. Be a living sacrifice. Just a tool in God's hands. Let him dictate. Let God dictate. Let his word guide you in 2026. Last night we went out to eat with my family. And the options were one of two places that we had. Sometimes gift cards dictate for you where you're going to eat. Amen? Praise God for gift cards. So those gift cards ruled out everything else that was an option. And then out of those gift cards, not very long ago, my wife kind of inquired. Usually she asked me more directly. She didn't ask me more directly this time. She just kind of inquired, which one do you want or whatever, if you care. And I don't remember if I answered her or not. My mind was unified. And I honestly didn't care. And it really made it easy when somebody else decided for me what to do. Listen, your life gets a lot easier when you'll just let God decide for you what to do. If you'll just look at what his word says and just follow it, there's a lot of things I don't have to think about. I don't have to pray about. I don't have to wonder, God, are you okay with this? His word says no. Okay, no problem. I'm not gonna sit there. You can say, well, why? But it doesn't help you. I didn't say, why'd you pick this place? Why didn't we pick the other one? I already know why. One was a steakhouse. One was a barbecue place. My wife loves barbecue. She wants to enjoy all that to herself. Am I right? No, okay. See, you don't do any good trying to figure things out on your own. Notice what Paul says. Gets in our way. Here's what gets in our way of being acceptable to God. And be not conformed to this world. That gets in the way of being acceptable to God. I'm going to say that one more time because it needs to sink in. Being conformed to this world gets in the way of being acceptable to God. Because if you're conformed to this world, you can't accomplish what is being taught in the Word of God. The world is anti-God. Just watch a little YouTube, a little social media. It won't take you long. The Bible doesn't say don't live in the world. Obviously, we have to do that. Bible doesn't say don't enjoy some of the blessings this world has to offer. There's some blessings that God intends us to enjoy in this world. Nothing wrong with that. It doesn't say don't let the world's this or that be a part of your life. It's not saying that. But what it is saying is this. Don't let the world's mindset control you. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the world's mindset is the issue here. Renew your mind to the things of God. What does that mean? Allow God's word right here. Praise God for his word. We just heard about it. We stand on what is timeless. We stand on what is true. We stand on the word of God. Allow God's word to affect your thinking. Allow God's word to transform you. Allow God's word to do things, because that's where it starts. It starts in the mind. And so the mindset of a living sacrifice. And then there's the measure of acceptance. Romans 12:1 doesn't stop at present your bodies a living sacrifice. It adds these words, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That word acceptable is the measure. Now, here's where we often get tangled. We spend our days trying to be acceptable to everyone else. I mentioned it, to our spouse, to our children, to our parents, our boss, our pastor, our coach, our teacher, whatever, our neighbor, even the dog demands things when he barks at the door and wants to let out, right? That cat annoyingly meows just non-stop. I'm not talking about anything specific at all. They all demand our attention. And yet, after all that effort, after all the energy you put into things, you still feel stretched, thin, guilty. You feel inadequate. And why? Because you've measured acceptance by the wrong standard. Acceptance isn't about juggling every demand or pleasing every voice. Acceptance is about pleasing God. Quick example, remember Cain and Abel? They were the first two sons of Adam and Eve. Both brought an offering to God. Cain brought the fruit of the ground. The fruit of the ground was something he was already doing. It was something convenient. It was something he had produced. Abel, though, he brought the firstlings of the flock. A costly sacrifice. Something that was hard for him. A costly sacrifice given God's way. And Scripture says that God accepted Abel's offering, but rejected Cain's offering. The point isn't that Cain didn't try. The point is that Cain gave to God what was convenient. He gave to God what was easy. He gave to God what fit in. He gave to God something that wasn't a sacrifice. Are you already applying that? Giving to God what's easy, what fits in, what isn't a sacrifice. While Abel gave what was yielded. God isn't looking for what's easiest for us to give. He's looking for what is surrendered to him. And Abel's lamb was more than just obedience, by the way. We're not going to go into it because it would be distracting to get off the topic. But Abel's lamb was a picture pointing forward to Christ, the lamb that would be slain, the perfect spotless lamb that would be slain, whose sacrifice alone, by the way, Christ's sacrifice makes us acceptable. Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. I deserve a devil's hell. I deserve to spend eternity there forever. But Jesus sacrificed on Calvary's cross. His blood covered my sin and makes me acceptable. So you're already on the right foot if you're saved. Yeah. If you accept Christ as your Savior, you accepting him makes you acceptable. You're already acceptable, by the way. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He wants you to know you can go to heaven when you die. God gave his son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for you. And now, Christian, God is asking you to give your life as a sacrifice for him. Now, here's where that connects to us. If God's measure of acceptance has always been surrender and sacrifice, then our measure must be the same. If I'm too busy to obey the basics of God's word, then I'm too busy. If I have time for every project, I have time for every hobby, I have time for every demand, I have time to do things for my kids or do things for other people, and to run from here to there and everywhere, but I don't have time for prayer or time for scripture or time for church or time for worship, then I've mismeasured acceptance. A busyness is not the same as holiness. Here's a test. Am I acceptable to God? Not acceptable to my boss or my spouse or my children or even myself, but to Him. That's the measure that steadies everything else. Because when God is pleased, the rest finds its place. Imagine a scale up here. Not like a scale you step on, but you've got a scale that has weights, you know, and it's got the bar there. And you have that scale and you place on that scale. On one side, you pile up all of your accomplishments, all of your accomplishments, all of your efforts to please others, all your business, everything else is on this side of the scale. And over here are the things you've done for God. The things that you fit in, because you're so busy, just the things here and there that fit in. Maybe a simple act of obedience or you read your Bible a couple times or whatever the case may be. Which way is more? In eternity, only what is acceptable to God will matter. By the way, all these sayings are going to be tested by fire, tried by fire. And what I've done for myself or what I've done in things that don't matter for eternity, they're going to be burned up. And God calls those things wood, hay, and stubble. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, wood, hay, and stubble. And all these sayings are going to be that I've done for the Lord, that's gold, jewels, and precious stones. And it's going to be tried by fire. And what's left behind are the things that have what I've done for God. And so this year, instead of asking this, am I going to get everything done? Or did I get everything done? Did I check all the boxes? Ask one question. Was God pleased? I'm not talking about how to get to heaven. We can't do good works to get to heaven. You can't earn it and you can't buy it. You'll never have enough good works to outweigh your bad works that cause you to earn heaven, because you still have the bad works. My sin is what sends me to hell. Jesus died on the cross for my sin. His good work on Calvary's cross gives me access to heaven. And by God's grace, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, He works through me. As a Christian, we ought to strive for good works. Absolutely. But the only thing we ought to strive for in that regard is what's pleasing to God. So instead of asking, did I get everything done, ask, was God pleased? Instead of measuring success by how many people you kept happy, measure it by whether your life was holy. Measure success by whether or not your life was yielded to God. Measure your success by whether or not the decisions you made, you considered God, His Word, the Holy Spirit, you considered my decision was based on what I thought was most pleasing to God. We'll miss the mark oftentimes. But if that's your heart attitude, you'll fall short oftentimes. But if that's your heart attitude, God's going to bless that. He's going to direct you. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you the desires of His heart. Notice Paul's phrase here, which is at the end of verse 1, which is your reasonable service. God isn't asking for something extreme. God isn't asking for something impossible. You might be thinking, that's impossible, that's hard. No, He just calls it your reasonable service. Don't pat yourself on the back this morning about your Christian life because you feel like you've been doing a pretty good job about this. It's your reasonable service. He's asking for what's reasonable. You say, well, what is it exactly? Let's narrow it down. That we give back to God what He already gave us. What's that? Our lives, our bodies, our days. That's the measure of acceptance. Then last, the renewal of the mind. Look at verse 2. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we have the mindset of a living sacrifice, the measure of acceptance, and then the renewal of the mind. Paul shifts the focus here from the body, the living sacrifice, to the mind. The body must be yielded, but the mind must be renewed. Why? Because everything begins in the mind. What you think shapes what you do. As a man thinketh, so is he. And so, my pastor always get it wrong, but I'm going to get close to it. My pastor, Ted, always said, stinking thinking leads to stinking living. Did I get that right? Stinking thinking leads to stinking living. Well, the opposite is true as well. Right thinking leads to right living. And the danger here is conformity. The world is constantly pressing you into its mold. But listen, the world is telling you what success looks like, what happiness requires, what relationships should be, what priorities matter. And if we let the world dictate our thinking, we'll never live a life acceptable to God. Can I say that one more time? If you keep getting your influence and all of your thinking from the world, you'll never live a life that's pleasing to God, because you're not letting Him and His Word dictate those things in your life. Renewal means letting God reshape our thoughts through His Word. I said renewing means letting God reshape our thoughts through His Word. It's not about emptying your mind, but filling your mind with truth. Filling your mind with God's Word in 2026. Letting your mind be saturated by the Word of God. It's not about trying harder either. It's just about thinking differently. Paul gives us a filter. Go to Philippians 4:8. We're to Philippians 4:8. If you don't mind, this is a great twin passage or sister passage to Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This has been coming up a lot lately in different areas. The Bible says this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The world says, this is a checklist for a renewed mind. If it doesn't fit that list, it doesn't belong in your life. The world says, you don't have time for prayer. Renewal says, prayer is the strength of my day. The world says, you need more to be happy. Renewal says, godliness with contentment is great gain. The world says, speak your mind. Let your voice be heard. It's all about me. Renewal says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The world says, fill your mind with whatever entertains you. You only live once. Renewal says, think on things that are true. Think on things that are pure. Think on things that are lovely. Think about a computer infected with a virus. Doesn't matter how strong the hardware is, if the software is corrupted, the whole system malfunctions. Renewal of the mind is God's antivirus. His word cleans out the lies, resets the system of your thinking, installs truth that transforms the way you live. Renewal is not a one-time event, by the way. Renewal is a daily thing. It is daily. Just as your body needs food every day, you need scripture every single day. If you feed your mind with the world, you'll conform to the world. This isn't rocket science. If you fill your mind with God's word, you'll be transformed by God's word. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, a renewed mind, you say, I wonder what God's will is for me. A renewed mind is what helps you to discern God's will. Without it, you'll chase the world's will. Got to have every head bowed, every eye closed at this time. Romans 12 gives us really the pathway that we need to a life that is acceptable unto God. It begins with surrender, presenting your body as a living sacrifice. Have you done that? Don't answer out loud, but have you done that? Presented your body as a living sacrifice. Now, I'm not saying it's a one-time event. I'm saying it's a daily thing. You might have done that when you're 15 or 16 or 12 or 23 or whatever. There was a time where you went forward and you said, God, I've given you my life. Listen, that's great. I'm glad you did that. But what about the next day? And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. There's a misnomer going around that says this. If you committed your life to God one time, you committed your life to God. Nope, you had another day that you needed to recommit to God. And so that's what I'm talking about. Have you done that today? And then what you need to do is you need to determine in your heart and in your mind in 2026, I'm going to do that every day. I'm going to wake up every morning and say, God, I'm committing my life to you. I'm renewing my mind. I'm going to allow you to renew my mind. And I'm surrendering, presenting my body a living sacrifice. It continues with the right measure, holiness, convenience, pleasing God above all others. It requires renewal. Letting God reshape your mind so then you can discern his will. I mean, that's the answer to the burdens we talked about at the beginning. Financial pressures, health concerns, spiritual concerns, whatever's going on. That's the answer to those things. It's allowing God to shape your thinking. Because when you find you lay your life down as a sacrifice to him, when you lay your life down, you just say, God, my life is yours to control. When you're able to do that, that's when your focus is on what's acceptable to God. And if you do that, everything else falls apart.